Councilman Caitlin Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Fire. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State. Today we have with us a mighty woman of God. Her name is Donna Clement. But before we get into that, I just wanted to just say, hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
It is your birthday.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm one of the few people, the proud, that actually get to celebrate two birthdays every year. So it's not my actual birthday. It's the Marine Corps birthday. So thank you.
Yeah. To simplify, man, I just spent a long time, 3-day weekend, we're actually 4 days with a bunch of military guys. And I took my son on a rite of passage. We got our butts kicked by a bunch of Marine, really tough guys, man. A lot tougher than you, but hey, you know what? You are a Marine. and you know what? A lot of people don't know this. This guy right here, if you ever went ground in a fight, this guy could destroy you. He knows a lot of jujitsu, which he doesn't look like it.
But I don't know if I know a lot of jujitsu.
No,
I know
good.
A little bit of jujitsu, but. But yeah, no, honestly, it's interesting because most people know the Marine Corps birthday, but does anybody know what the Army, the Navy, Coast Guard, the Air Force? Does anybody know the birthdays of them? No.
No.
Yeah, because America loves Marines.
That they do.
All right. Hey, real quick, go to our website, churchandstate.media. Check out all of our fine sponsors. Also, if you want to donate to us, I've been talking a lot about this, but we have an opportunity to go to Nashville to speak at the Reawaken America Tour. We do need a little bit of help fundraising. So if you want to go on over there, donate. And also check out our sponsors as well. Gabe, go ahead and introduce our amazing guest.
Yeah, we're going to get right into this all the time that we possibly can, because a lot of people have heard of Trump prophecies. A man by the name of Ken Clement, he is a pastor from South Africa, and he has a unique gifting, and he's now with the Lord. I got to see him in person in Seattle. I actually got to be in the green room with him back there and a bunch of other pastors. Amazing. He reminds me, he's like the combination of like Leonidas mixed with, I don't know, somebody who's got amazing piano skills. The thing is he would use music to get us into the presence of God, and then God would reveal prophecy to him. And the reason why I really pushed so hard to get Donna, his daughter, with us here, and she, those of you who know the Reawaken America tour, she is one of the main speakers. Clay Clark has had her on the tour. I believe for almost every single, you'll have to correct me on this, Donna, if you've been to every single location. But anyway, the Guardian put out a hit piece. It's called, and this is regarding Trump, when I say he, the title says, "He Was Chosen, the Right-Wing Christian Roadshow Spreading the Gospel of Trump." This was written by the Guardian. And it goes off and begins to talk about, it literally says right here, the prophecy says, "There's a man by the name of Donald," the voice on the recording says, "God said, you have been determined through your prayers to influence the nation. I will open up the door you prayed about, and when it comes time for the election, you will be elected." Now, Kim Clement used the word Donald, and he used the word Trump many different times. Anyway, they begin to go after Kim Clement and these prophecies, and it scares them. And that's what I really believe, Caleb, is the left is scared, because how do you argue prophecy? Amos literally says, this is a very famous scripture. It says in Amos 3:7, "Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets," which is almost like how Hollywood does it. They have to reveal their intentions and plans through demonic movies.
You know, they have projection. We have prophecy.
We have prophecy. God gives us prophecy, and it scares them. They're scared. But anyway, with that, I would like to introduce Donna. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I am here. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about all this? The Guardian coming after your dad, coming after Clay, coming after everything that's going on. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Clay told me that he had invited different news media and that they would be coming, and that they were mostly the ones who've spoken badly of us, because the ticket sales for the Reawaken America tour went up by, I think, 30-40% after receiving negative press, because a lot of people can see through that and understand, for instance, me, if any left-leaning news source says don't do something, that is exactly what I'm going to do. And so it appears that there's quite a few Americans out there and people out there in America who saw those articles and read them and said, huh, I'm going to go check it out. And so I think the good thing is that they're being forced to talk about it, especially when it comes. I read the Guardian article. I sent it to General Flynn, and I won't even tell you what he said, but he's praying for the guy who wrote the article. But definitely, you know, if you read in that article where they quote my dad, what are they going to say? My dad is not even with us anymore. He had a series of strokes in 2015, and then he passed away in 2016. He wasn't part of this whole thing that we've seen going on, where he could have formed some kind of opinion or picked a side. You know, he had no skin in this game, and it authentically and genuinely came out of him, and you cannot deny that it's God.
Which you and I talked about when we were in person, don't you believe it actually gives even more validity to what these prophecies are? Because, you know, there's one thing to prophesy while being alive, and another thing to see these prophecies come to fruition after you've gone to be with the Lord. Would you agree?
Exactly. Exactly. That's another thing. They have no argument against him. They can't accuse him of anything. They can't say, you know, whatever they want to say, because he's not here. And so he did what a prophet does, and he prophesied things far in advance that he would not even live to see himself. And that shows the authenticity of how God moves through a prophet. It is a perfect example of it, especially the modern day prophet.
Yes. Caleb, I just want to just get in your brain right now. Caleb, he grew up in an environment where prophecy was a little bit sketchy. Like, can you be honest about that? How there's people out there, I want you to play the, we don't use the term devil's advocate. We just use the Stephen's advocate. Okay. Or actually Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Okay. Thomas was actually one who wanted to see, and I can't stand when people say Thomas didn't have faith. Thomas just wanted to see the evidence because he could not grasp that his king was alive again. And these guys had just literally had their whole entire world flipped upside down, their hero ripped out from under them. He just needed to know that this was real. What are your thoughts on this, Caleb? Because I know some of these prophecies are undeniable. You know, you've heard the ones about he has hot blood. I'm copying your dad's accent because I love it so much. And even the one about Clay Clark, there's a Mr. Clark. There's a Mr. Clark. And like that prophecy woke up Clay Clark's life. It's undeniable. There'd be no Reawaken America tour had it not been for that prophecy.
Yeah, you know, not to attack any of our Christian base at all, but we on the show are not cessationists. We don't believe in that. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit exist to this day. And, you know, one of those is prophecy. In fact, it's the greatest of gifts. It's the one that Paul desired all of us to engage in, right? It's greater than tongues. It's greater than any of the gifts. And so, but there's also the Bible also lays out very specifically, like, you need to test a prophet, right? And if a prophet is a liar, well, there's some issues with that. And then, you know, you might not want to be a false prophet, especially in the Old Testament there. But obviously, so many of these prophecies of Kim Clement came true. And so there you are. There you judge it and you find it to be true. And as you just said, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy coming from Kim Clement came true. So there's our answer. And so I would encourage our audience to keep a very open mind on this subject. And some of these things that are said haven't necessarily come true yet, but we've already got the mark here that he's accurate so many times. You know, I'm specifically talking about the time that he says Trump will have two terms.
Right.
Trump's still alive, guys. And most people really aren't going to vote for Joe Biden again in 2024. So, hey, let's see what happens here.
Right. And, you know, if you think about him, he saw very specific things. And it wasn't just that he saw two terms. He saw the two terms. And when he prophesied it, he was in Maricopa County. So that part of the prophecy wouldn't have made sense at all, like in 2016 or in 2018. But after 2020, it made complete sense. And that's how this has worked all along the way, if I'm tracking the way my dad prophesied. And the way prophecy works in general is people tend to sort of want to rush to see things fulfilled. And the key is always patience, because I was under the assumption that everything was prophesied prior to 2016, and that it was all kind of for 2016 time, when I was in 2016 and during Trump's presidency. But after the 2020 election, so many things that I wasn't sure about started to make sense, and the pieces of the puzzle started to come together to create a picture. And that is exactly what it's supposed to be. You were talking about, people who are false prophets, or, it's definitely been abused. Prophecy has been abused. If you go back in the last 20 or 30 years, there's not enough of an understanding of the prophetic, and it's sort of been neglected because it's difficult. It's a difficult thing, and you have to be cautious and careful, and you should test them. Yes. And it's not just about, what was right and wrong about what they saw, because that also, that can get quite complicated, but also, you know them by their fruits. And so when you see a person like my dad, it was like everywhere in his life, it wasn't just the prophecy part, just everything, was full of good fruit. Wherever he went, it was better. There were things better. It was helpful. So those are the kinds of things that you need to look at too, because over the years, you can imagine, we definitely ran into some serious issues with people who were not honest. And Dad would have to put his foot down and deal with that. He had a man invite him to a church, a pastor invite him to a church, and he wanted to pay him a large sum of money, like $50,000 or something, and have people line up to receive a prophecy. My dad said, well, what if I don't have a word for certain people and they've paid money? That's ridiculous. And he outright refused and never, ever, once, ever charged anybody any money for a word from God. So it can get quite complicated, and it does require discernment and wisdom, and you have to ask God for that. I always encourage people, you ask God yourself and let him show you. Because it is such an it's such a crazy thing my dad did. I mean, growing up, I would have to, people would say, what does your dad do? And you can't just, like, someone, like, if you're in high school, if you're in a gathering of people that aren't all Christians, or even Christians that don't really understand, I haven't been exposed to it, and you just say, my dad's a prophet. Well, you can't just say that to people without it being a huge explanation. And so that was always kind of a difficulty as well. It's a very unique situation, and it is few and far between. You won't find too many prophets like my dad ever. And so it was, yes, a special gift, I think, that God gave specifically to America. God called my dad to America. And the timing of God was perfect, of when my dad was born, when he became a Christian, when he moved to America, what he did in America, which was travel from state to state to state to state and prophesied almost in every single state. He would go, yeah, wherever he was invited. It didn't matter the denomination. Sometimes he was rejected. Sometimes he had to deal with all kinds of things. And it was not an easy journey for him or for us. Our family had to sacrifice a lot of, having a normal life. But this is normal to us. We're fine. I love what my dad did, and I just feel so honored to be able to share it with people.
Can we talk about, just for one brief window, I want to talk about you just for a second. And here's why, because you have a unique gifting, Donna. You have been sifting. I've followed you and even watched after your father passed away. I told you this, and I told you, and I kind of apologized. And it's not that I'm apologizing to you, but I just felt my faith was tested when Kim passed away. I thought, Lord, is this an actual prophet? Was he a false prophet? And as time went, I acknowledged that my faith was shook and he is a prophet. And then even you've sifted through prophecy after prophecy. And I heard a prophecy that was from a Pastor Gray. It was some friends of your father's from, I believe, way back, prophesied not only over your father and your mom, but they also included a prophecy over you and your adoptive brother. And I listened to those, and I believe even a lot of the mantle that was prophesied over your mom is on you, because you've been operating and moving and carrying this. And I just want to say, you remind me of like scribes. Like scribes would take and write down what the prophet had said, and they'd write it over and over and over and over again. So there was multiple copies out there. And I feel like in a lot of ways you have carried that mantle of your father. But I just wanted to ask you, how do you see yourself, Danae? Like what would you say you God has called you to do?
That has been that all changed when my dad got sick. So growing up, I am a writer. So you're not right, wrong about the scribe thing. I'm a writer, and I used to write for my dad. I helped him write books, emails, whatever, research if he needed. And I was a behind the scenes person, and I was quite happy to be that. I even went to school. I studied English literature and philosophy. I was majoring in philosophy and English literature. I sort of had an idea of how my life was going to go, and I thought I'd figured it out. And then my dad got sick, and it changed something inside of me. And I, in my desperation to try to save my dad, I found myself often on my face before God, every night on my face before God and praying with my daughter. I mean, we went through so much, and it transformed my life and what I was doing. And so I got, when my dad passed away, I actually I had a mantle I had been carrying around, and the mantle is a scarf that he would wear. He started doing that in 2009 after he was praying and saw a vision of Christ wearing a mantle. And he wore that. You'll see him in prophecies wearing the scarf. It'll be different ones. And he always wore that. And it was a symbol of the responsibility that he carried. And he wore that for the rest of his life. So I had one of them. And I would pray over him in the hospitals and at home. And I was just, and when he passed away, the night he passed away, I walked off alone outside of the hospital, and I didn't even know where I was going. And I walked through like a maze of hedges, and I had the mantle in my hand, and I walked out of that maze into a beautiful rose garden, just full of white roses. And I grabbed the mantle in my hand and I held it up, and I said, okay, God, whatever it is that I have to do to make sure that everything my dad did in his life isn't just gone for nothing. I know that this was God speaking through him. And I went home, and I had to deal with grief, a lot of grief. And so for me, I would watch video of my dad. I just watch him all the time. And that helped me to heal and helped with the grieving. And at the same time, I'm like, oh my goodness, look what he said there. Look what he prophesied here. Look what he prophesied here. And so I just started putting it on YouTube, which is something that they hadn't really done very much of. They had a YouTube channel with a small following. And I just started putting up videos of my dad, and just had a huge response. And people were giving me information like, oh, did you know about this and this and this happened? And look how it lines up. And so something my dad started that was called Code Breakers, where he had,
I remember that,
Code Breakers, and people would write in and give information, and they'd try to figure out what does this mean, these prophecies. The code breaking continued, and it was in social media and through our own network. And, that has been incredible, because it's brought us all together, a lot of people together who are looking at the same things. So I know my dad, but I don't know everything. I don't know everything going on in the world. I don't understand everything. Dad didn't even understand everything he prophesied. So often he would walk off a stage or be finished for the night and say, I don't even remember what I said. I remember one time he prophesied about something that occurred between the Muslims and the French in the 7th century, and he had no idea what he had just prophesied, why he had said that. He walked off the stage. He said, what happened in the 7th century? So as God, he would, like you said, he would worship. worship was the plowing. He used to have a,
yes.
He had an old van when I was a kid, and on the side of the van, he had painted, "Judah shall plow." And so that was very, like, that was very important to him, is that worship time. And that's why you'll see that, because it was two or more gathered in his name. He's in the midst of them. And so that, using that concept, as many people as possible who were there in the building and then watching online of it, it was incredible what happened. And I think the more people that were watching that live and praying with him, it was feeding, it was supporting him so he could even see better. And I'm telling you, like, the last 10 years of his life, the amount of prophecy that came out of him and the accuracy is something I haven't found that anywhere else.
Donna, you actually have a video that you sent to us, and I want to make sure that we play this for our audience. You have shared this a few other places, but really, this is going to be one of the first places that our audience is going to be able to see this video. So, Gabe, you have that queued up, right?
Yeah. Do you want to, this was the Trump 2. This where are you addressing the one that the prophecy from June 17th, 2020 in San Jose?
Yes, but it's not 2020. Oh. It's 2000. What year is it? 14? No. 2007. What am I saying? 14. Okay. Yeah. All three prophecies that are in this little clip here, I put three different dates. It's all in 2007. So 2007 is where he saw Trump would be a trumpet. He saw the wall. He saw the economy. He saw the hot blood, all that. And then at the end, I've now tagged on this additional video. Also in 2007, it's like 2 months later, and he's in San Jose, California. He prophesies two terms again. So this is huge, this video. We didn't even know it was there. This, again, code breaking, and we found it. And so we're just so excited because it's right at the midterms. Everything's perfect. So,
all right, Sawyer, go ahead and play that. If there's any instructions you need us to do, if you want us to pause or anything, just tell us. Our producer will hear it. Go ahead, Sawyer.
Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. No, you didn't hear me. Trump shall become a trumpet. Are you listening to me? I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet.
He will be a praying president, not a religious one. But I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say, he has hot blood.
For this is back in 2007.
Says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray, but he will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in office, and then I will baptize him with the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. Now God says, a president that I will bring into the White House, and they will say, he is ungodly. He does not know God. But even as Jesus disguised himself for the great feast, so I have disguised this man's heart. And when he comes to the White House, not only shall he be mine, but he shall pray as a man that has never prayed in the White House. Is anybody excited about this? That same man, says the Spirit of God, shall put his feet onto this platform. And God says, they will say, how did this take place? Laws shall change. Young men and young women shall have access into the kingdom, and with authority into politics, and with authority into the industries that now have been controlled by darkness, because of this man that shall rule for another two terms. For two terms, God said,
he says two terms again.
For the Lord says, there will be no unnecessary stuff, but there will be things that men shall question. Fear not, for he shall sit in that seat, and suddenly my spirit shall come upon him and baptize him with a fire and with anointing, says the Spirit.
Come on, thank you, Jesus.
Come on! No more war! 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 No more war!
See how he would use music?
No more war. time for war has gone. The time of war has gone. Peace shall reign the streets as they have, but not like before. Listen to me. The time of war has gone. The time for peace has come. And I will walk in your streets again. And the house they call white,
the house they call white,
shall receive a man.
Stood in your night.
And the house that you call white,
and the house that you call white,
shall receive a man a knight.
Shall receive a man a knight, a K-N-I-G-H-T.
Fought for you.
Fought for you.
In your night.
In your night, with an N.
Absolutely incredible. Donnie, we've got about a minute left. It's on a lot.
Time flies.
That. But okay. Go ahead. The microphone is yours.
Well, I just want to, just anybody listening, I just want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of people feeling discouraged over the midterms. We're seeing all kinds of things. We don't know what to think. God has this, and I've had to have a lot of faith to put my dad's stuff out there like I have and put myself out there, you know, because it is very uncertain times. But one thing I know is that what I saw in my dad's life was God moving through him. My dad was a man. He lived and he died. He didn't know everything. He was not God. He did not understand. But God has this. And that is the comfort that I have through all of this. Through the 2020 elections, I knew to listen to Giuliani because my dad prophesied it. And so I just want to encourage everybody that might be feeling unsure, have faith. This is what this is all about. This is why God's doing this. He needs us to lean on him and have faith in him and to touch the untouchable and reach the unreachable. All those people on the left that make us so mad, those are the people we're called to. And God needs to reach them. And that's why we're going through all of this ultimately, is get as many people as possible. And he's giving as many people a chance as possible. And that's why all of this Absolutely. Is happening in America and the world.
Yes. So the website is houseofdestiny.org. Go ahead and check out the YouTube channel. But I believe all of these videos should be.
You can also find her at Instagram at Donna Petro. And just look up the name.
I don't use that Instagram. Okay. I don't use any Instagram book anymore, but the ministry has got them. So look for Kim Clement Prophetic Rewind. The only place I am active is on Truth Social. And you can find me there. I'm trying to get a check mark. I was talking to Clay Clark this morning.
Awesome.
There we are. Yeah. So Donnie, thank you so much for joining us in Church and State. We really appreciate your time. We're looking forward to seeing you in person January in Nashville. Absolutely. All right. Church and State is sponsored in part by On Fire Ministries, empowering you to put faith into action. And with that, Church and State is out.
God bless.